This is Joanna Schrader reporting for DomesticFuel.com, and I with Brian Tom with Edenic. Brian, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks, Joanna.
Well, Brian, thanks for sitting down with me. We're at the Fuel Ethanol Workshop, technically the last day here. And I've been covering your company for quite some time, but I've never had an opportunity to sit down and really have a one-on-one. So let's start off and talk a little bit about the history of your company. How did you get into the biofuels industry? You know, just some generalizations. Where are you based?
Sounds good. So I should state, first of all, I've been with the company for about 3 years. It was actually formed 5 years ago by Larry Gross and a group of investors that spun it out of Ultra Biofuels, which was a former ethanol plant holding company that ran corn ethanol plants. And what had happened is they had developed what I'll call a little skunkworks team that was developing a cellulosic addition, if you will, with the idea of how do you migrate corn plants over to cellulosic. And so in 2008, the ownership split up the company and formally founded Edenic. The CEO of Ultra then stepped in as CEO of Edenic, and then about 3 years ago they reached out and said, okay, now that we're past the early stage, we're ready for somebody to step in that will help grow the company, has experience in the ethanol industry, et cetera. So I've been involved in ethanol myself for about 15 years as a banker, working for Fagen Inc. as well, U.S. Bioenergy Corporation, spent some years working with some individual companies, and then went to work with Edenic about 3 years ago. So that's the history of the company. It was founded with the idea of how do you take, again, corn plants and migrate them over to a world-class cellulosic operation. And what we've done is transition that into how do you take a corn ethanol plant and make it better. What's happened is we've developed an end-to-end cellulosic process. And as we can pull individual unit operations, out of that entire process and find application for them in the real world right now to help customers, plant partners, then we've commercialized that. So the Cellunator is a great example of that. It's a colloidal mill that goes in and developed specifically to grind up biomass. But we found that with a different configuration, it would actually work really well on grinding up the corn particles into a specific particle size in such a way that it gets a better starch release. You get access to more starch from that same slurry that you had before. So that's an example of what we've done with commercialization and going in and helping plants. And our goal is simply to incrementally make a plant better and better over time and then add cellulosic and take another big step up such that a corn ethanol plant has a more diverse feedstock, more diverse output, better economics, frankly, coming from all of that.
So for the, we have, give or take, 100 corn ethanol plants right now. So to sort of walk people through, you could come into that current corn ethanol plant. You can add in your technology at that base level. And then as the industry evolves and as we start to move into these advanced biofuels, you can take that same facility and add technologies to help that facility evolve, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's actually, you know, over 200 plants in the U.S., although there's not 220 of them, so to speak, operating today. Certainly. And so we look at it and say, well, how do you economically advantage those plants, just like you're talking about? And so, you know, take step functions, go in and add, in our case, 6 cents per gallon incremental margin with one product line, another 3 cents with a second product line, another 4 cents per gallon with a third product line, and all of a sudden you have a 13-cent advantage. And it's incrementally making those margins better. Now, you mentioned other fuels and chemicals downstream as well in the future, you know, other products. And we certainly view cornstarch as a sugar that can be made into other products. You certainly see other companies doing it in the isobutanol world right now, for example, wanting to take plants and transition them. Our technologies actually work very, very well with those as well. So whether a person is making ethanol or whether you're making other fuels and chemicals in the future, it's all technology additions. It's incremental improvement, other value-added streams, and we certainly believe other downstream producers will come along that can convert it into whether it's isobutanol, normal butanol, or other chemicals and fuel drop-ins. I will admit I'm a 15-year ethanoler, and I look at the ethanol market, and I say there's a 24-billion-gallon worldwide market, plus or minus, depending on the year right now, and continued development, and ethanol's not going away. It's an oxygenate and an octane for our fuel stream in the U.S. So whether a person wants to argue if it should be 13.5 billion gallons or 30 billion gallons, the key for me is that it's still a very robust, very large product that needs to find its way into the market. So.
Well, now, going from the first generation to the second generation, and you talk about how your cellulinator technology can actually be used for biomass. So is there an opportunity for your company to look at some of these idled or shut down corn ethanol plants and go in and start updating this technology and converting it right into that advanced biofuels market?
Yeah, certainly. That's one of the things that us and other companies in our space have looked at, is there an opportunity? And the real key question, admittedly, becomes, is that ethanol plant, has it been idled for a specific reason relative to the technology, which somebody can come in and take advantage of new product offerings, new additions on the technology side, or has it been idled due to other macroeconomic factors, regional corn supply, for example? Is there biomass available? What would you do with that biomass? What's the end product look like and the supply chain? So there's every plant's unique. You know, every ethanol plant out there was put in place with positive and negative attributes by comparison to one another, and certainly that'll be the same with in the future too. So.
Well, I noticed that you hit on something that's pretty important. You're talking about profitability. And in my perspective, if you don't have multiple feeds, or if you don't have multiple co-products, and you're not thinking like a biorefinery, you're not going to make it. And you literally come in and turn a plant into a true biorefinery. So what are these plants looking at? I mean, how long does it take to make the conversion, and when are they going to start seeing that higher profitability?
So the current product lines that we put in place, we've got two that are commercial, another one that's in commercial testing, and we're going live with in the second half of this year. And those are what I'll call very immediate, very near-term paybacks. So you have products that can be put into place within 6 months and immediate returns. So very, very good profitability. The next generation takes longer. You know, with one of our strategies, and Tom Griffin talked about it this morning in one of the tracks, our strategy is what we call a bolt-on. So we look at it as, what can we do to take our process and put a small plant in the shadow of the very large one and incrementally add whether it's 10 cents or 30 cents worth of additional profitability for every gallon that goes through that plant through additional feedstocks and other product use.
Great. And what's the big takeaway from you for Fuel Ethanol Workshop? For those people who are here, for the people who didn't make it here, what do you want them to know about your company right now?
First of all, real products helping plants. We consider our plant customers are really our partners. You know, we look at, you mentioned how to treat a biorefinery. We look at it as a refinery. All right, and you go back and look at the history of the refining industry. And refineries and the owners of refineries have done a very good job of going in and looking for every incremental hundredth or tenth or penny worth of profitability that they can find, margin that they can squeeze out in various places. And we look at these refineries the same way in the ethanol industry. How do you go in and incrementally add some slight advantage here, some slight advantage there? And you're seeing more and more of that. You see a lot of companies here talking about added improvements. And from my perspective, the plants that are out there in the industry need to look at it. They need to look at adding to their profit margin. They need to be looking at competitive opportunities to add technologies going forward. It's no longer just the same old, let's, you know, run our plant the same way we did last year and the year before and the year before, because we're definitely going to stay in a margin environment that's going to be tight. So every incremental tenth of a penny matters.
Great. And Brian, where can people go to get more information?
Edenic.com, EDENIQ.com.
Great. Thanks. Keep in touch.
Thanks, Joanna.